I notice that there are some children who can be guided with an eye. You who have been attending Prague less than a month, or you've re-engaged at Prague in the last month, would you stand, please? Yeah, you're on the spot. That would be Donnie and Donna and Rich and Carrie and Rob and Natalie and who else? Now, hang on. Hang on. Who else has been here less than a month? All right, now all of you stand up. I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to greet one another, and especially our guests. Well, we have a good report to give you this morning. Let me remind you of something the Scripture says in red out of Matthew 25. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch you have done it unto the least of these of one of my brethren, you have done it unto me. As many of you will know, we have a regular presence in the county jail. My wife and her associates were there this morning. She's got a good report she wants to give.
I was so excited about what the Lord did today that as soon as I got here, I ran up to Lenny's office to tell him. It was really, really great. I had the responsibility of bringing the word or whatever. And, you know, sometimes you pray and you just don't get anything. We've done this long enough to know that when that happens, just relax. God's got it. And so that's what we did. We went, we kind of, you know, asked if they had any prayer requests when they were going before the judge. You know, we write that down so we could be praying for them and stuff like that. Oh, Marie McGowan, Nikki Baker, and I go to, and we minister to the ladies. And then we got some other guys here, incidentally, that go to the guys. I know about the ladies. So anyway, we sit around at a table. There was only 6 of them and 3 of us. So, you know, it's a nice small little group. And the Lord is just doing something so great in the jail. It is so, so wonderful. You know, they pray during the week. They read the Bible. They, you know, they've got different things going. And so they actually come with questions. And some of them gave a few testimonies and, you know, things like that. And one of them said, yeah, when I said, does anybody have any questions? And so one of them said, yeah, I have a question. I've been reading Acts 2, and I just can't seem to get past Acts 2, and I don't understand it. I don't know what it's saying. So we read Acts 1 and 2, and then, you know, it kind of explained what was happening. And I'll tell you what, those ladies were eating up testimonies of how we got filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple of us shared, you know, what we actually experienced. And so we said, do you guys want us to pray for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, yes, yes. We prayed for each one of those ladies. Each one was touched by God. They were so touched by God. Praise His name. Hallelujah. I mean, it's nothing that we do. We just go there and we're just, you know, kind of listening. Okay, God, what are you doing today? And it's just so wonderful. Anyway, there was one that we went up to, you know, and it was like the words just didn't come. We just kind of, you know, how you do. You just put your hands on somebody and the presence of the Lord just came in stronger and stronger measure. And person, she just started crying. You know, they all cried when we prayed for them. And, you know, I know they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were changed. They were touched. None of them actually started speaking in tongues yet, but that'll come. Either in the shower, you know, when they're relaxed, when they're not expecting it, they'll get it. But anyway, I just praise God for just being able to be there for that.
You can't say to Patty, get all excited, go tell everybody. She'll go, okay. Well, I am once again just thrilled to have an opportunity to share with you one of the gifts of God in this house. I will not cease of reminding you of the charge that the Lord has given to me and how it affects us. He has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And that is to take place until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until we collectively, not just here at Prague, but the body of Christ, grows up into the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, each part has a piece to supply, and each part, doing what it does, causes the body to be built up in love. And we have the unusual grace and the courage to believe God when He says that. And so today, it's my joy to get to share with you another in the teaching ministry of this congregation. And I'm going to ask you to stand and give a warm welcome to Katrina Wagner. She comes to break the Word of God to us today.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Lanny, Pastor Lanny, for giving me the opportunity being here and just really growing in my ministry as a teacher. Do you remember about a month ago, an American Airlines pilot spoke over the loudspeaker and asked the Christians to raise their hand, and then he proceeded to say, well, now, those who raised their hand, would you please go and speak to the ones who didn't about Jesus? Well, it was a field day with the media, and the people who they interviewed were so insulted about the whole deal. Well, it was only about 2 weeks later, my family went on a trip to Florida. And my 10-year-old son sits next to this woman. Well, you probably can envision what's going to be happening here. So he sits this lady, and he says, well, have you ever heard of Jesus? And she says, well, yes. And he said, are you a Christian? Well, that did it. She said, I don't think that's an appropriate question for you to be speaking to someone, and I'm not going to answer it. You shouldn't be speaking to a stranger. That's what she said. And he thought for just a second, didn't miss a beat, and he said, well, Jesus spoke to strangers. Silencing. Well, he wanted to proceed and wanted to keep going with this, but my husband could see that this lady really wanted to reach up and hit that call button and have us all escorted off the plane. And he knew it just wasn't the right timing. He put a seat in there. And I say that because my son is showing the potential of having an evangelistic gift. But it's up to us to help him to mature in that gifting. And when Pastor Lanny spoke with me a few weeks ago, we sat down and he asked me if I would speak to you about one of our core values, and that is the commitment to individual ministry and maturity. And he wanted me to speak to you today because he has seen me walking in my ministry and my maturity, and he's seen me grow in this. And he wants me to just share what I have grown in. And I'd like to do that today for you. On the back of your bulletins is the one of the core statements, and I'd like to read that to you. It says, we celebrate the worth and uniqueness of each individual believer and his or her giving of themselves in service to the body of Christ. Serving others is the model of maturity that Jesus has left for his church. Personal works of service is how we each contribute to and attain personal growth and maturity. Service, growth, and maturity are how we attain unity of faith in Christ Jesus and release His grace to reach and transform our world. Therefore, We live in unselfish service to one another. We identify individual gifts and exhort and encourage one another to fully live out our unique identities in Christ in our places of service to each other. You know, as I read that, what really stood out to us is that we each have something unique and special to give to the body of Christ. We each have our own calling into service. And you may not be there yet, but the Lord already knows what you're going to be. But one of the important questions we need to ask ourselves before we really are in ministry is, what is your relationship to the Lord? Do you consider yourselves to be a servant of God? And what I want to do, too, is speak to you on a general format of what this is. And I'm going to go back and just take each part a little bit at a time and develop it. But the first thing I wanted to do is talk to you about being a servant of God. Can you open your Bibles to Mark 10? Here Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord over you, but that's not going to be you. He wants to speak to the disciples. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, not so with you. Instead, in verse 43, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There was a specific time in my life when the Lord showed up and he made me realize how important it was to be a servant. Several years ago, Michael and I moved back here from San Diego. And it was only a couple months after we're here when Michael started receiving these really cool prophetic words. They were awesome. They would say to Michael, oh, the Lord has a tremendous calling on your life. You're going to be traveling around the world. And then they would turn to me and they'd say, and Katrina, you're a good servant of the Lord. And I wanted that really neat word, and I got, you're a servant of the Lord. Well, time and time again, Michael, they'd point him out and say, Michael, this is what the Lord says about you. And they'd say something really neat. And then they'd turn to me and they'd say, and you're a servant of the Lord. Well, I have to admit, I was jealous. I really wanted something like Michael was getting. And what I felt was that they really had something for Michael. And when they turned to me, they didn't really have anything good to say. So that's all they could come up with. But you know what? I was wrong. And it didn't take long before the Lord really had a chat with me. And he really needed to correct my attitude. And I've discovered it's really never fun when the Lord corrects your attitude. What I learned was God called us to be servants so that we could be a blessing to others. And the attitude shouldn't be, well, what can you guys do for me? But it's really, what can I do for you? The Lord took me to a place that he wanted to teach me to in Scripture. And the Scripture that impacted me a great deal about being a real servant was at the Last Supper. Jesus showed us what a true servant was by washing the disciples' feet. At that point, he was just armed with his bare hands, he had a towel, and he had water. And he washed 24 disgusting feet. They had mud on them, they probably had rotten food from walking in the roads, and whatever else the animals left discarded in the road. And Jesus did that. He showed the disciples what a true servant was, and the depths of his love. And he continued to do that throughout the night, how much he loved them and how much he wanted to serve them. I remember the Lord giving me a picture of myself of cleaning the bathrooms here at this church. And I felt like he was asking me, would I be willing to serve him, even if it was just to clean the bathrooms and bless someone else. Now, I felt that as if the disciple, if Jesus could clean the disciple's feet without latex gloves, then how could I really say no, armed with rubber gloves, you know, a disinfectant and a toilet brush? I just couldn't say no to him. I realized that I needed to have an attitude change. And I really became very willing to do that, if that's what he wanted me to. I felt if I wasn't willing to do a simple and humble task as that, then why would he want to give me anything else? Being in ministry was not about my glory, but it's about God's glory and the glory of the church. He brought me to a place where I needed to say yes. I want to be a servant. I want to serve you, Lord. Whatever you're asking me, I want to do that. And I found later that sometimes, you know, those the greatest things that have the impact on us are those little special simple words, like you're going to be a servant of the Lord. That has been life-changing to me. Another area that I see is how do we see ourselves? Do you see yourselves as being unique and special in the Lord? Which I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 7. So the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to be coming back to that later, so if you want to mark that spot, you can come back to that quickly. Look at back in verse 10. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. You notice it doesn't say, if you have a gift. Each person here has a gift. You may have several gifts, but you have at least one ministry gift that you got from the Lord. In Psalm 139, it says that the Lord knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. All our days were ordained for us and written in his book before one of them came to be. He knew before you were born what he wanted to put in you, what the special gifts were that he wanted to be. You may not even have accepted Christ as your Savior yet, but it's still in you. For the time when you come to acknowledge Christ as your Savior, that will just proceed to come out of you. He also knows, too, the days that you're going to walk out in your ministry, he knows what you're going to do, the ministry that you have on your life, and he's going to give you the strength and the anointing to walk in that. Back in verse 10, what are you supposed to do with that gift? What does it say we do with that gift? To serve others. So my gifting isn't designed to serve me, but it's designed to serve you. As we identify ourselves as being a servant, then we're going to want to take that gift within us and pour it out to you and to bless you. The last part of that verse in 10 says, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. You know, there's many different giftings that the Lord's given to the church. Each one of those giftings is going to be packaged a little different. Each one of us are going to be different from each other in our ministry gift. You know, sometimes we look at people and we think, well, he's a pastor. Well, if I have the pastoral gift, that's the way a pastor looks. Or this is the only way an evangelist looks or a teacher. But that's not so. what God put in us and who we are. We have different giftings. We have different personalities. We have different life experiences that make up the whole package. We are uniquely created by God. And sometimes what we do is we see those charismatic people stand out to us the most. And the more reserved people, those of us that are reserved, will say, well, when I reach maturity, then that's how I should look. Well, that's not how God designed us. That's just their gifting. God made you for a reason to be exactly who you are, not a carbon copy of somebody else. I remember Pastor Lanning telling me once that he knew a man who had the gift of healing by spitting on people. Well, I am personally glad that that's not the only way people with a gift of healing function. But if I needed it, I will take that. I want to give an example of how some giftings are packaged differently. There's several evangelists I want to use. And does anybody know who Billy Sunday is? He is probably one of the greatest early evangelists of the 1900s. Now, this man grew up in an orphanage. He then later became a professional baseball player. And later, he became a Christian. And through the course of events, he started having tent meetings. Now, this man preached the gospel by illustrating baseball. And he would swing the bat, and he'd run across the stage, and he'd slide out and to be safe at the base. And he impacted towns and cities. One of the ways they judged the success of Billy Sunday was seeing how many bars closed down in the cities because these men became Christians, and they wanted to go back and be a family man. So he was very influential. Another Billy we know is Billy Graham. Now, I can't imagine Billy Graham ever running across the stage and sliding out. But he speaks the gospel with passion and has reached millions, probably, all across the world. Now, I don't know if any of you know the late T. Davidson. This man started Face of Bible Church, and he used to go to Ames and Kmart, and he'd wander around the stores, and he just wanted to get in a conversation with unsaved. And I remember once trying to talk to him, and he knew that I was a Christian and wanted nothing to do with me. He did not want to talk to me. And I found out because that's not what his agenda was. His agenda was to go and reach the unsaved, and that's the avenue this man enjoyed doing. Another evangelist here in our own church is Hilton Garcia. And one of the ways Hilton uses his gifting is by getting in conversation with people and just getting God into it and seeing how he can talk to people just in everyday life of that. Now, each of these men have the same gift. It's just packaged differently to meet the needs that God wants. Some of you may not be able to identify your gifting yet. You may not have opened yourself up to the Lord and to find that out, but most often it's that natural response in you. I remember having someone say to me, I have no idea what my gifting is. And I was shocked. I said, you know what? You use your prophetic gifting all the time. I know you go into restaurants, you go in the shopping centers, and you ask the Lord what to do. And the Lord will give this person something. And he goes and he shares it with a person, and it always blesses the people. And I said, don't you realize that? And he said, well, that's because it's fun and easy to do. Well, I said, that's it. That's what your gifting is. So it's that natural response. Your gift should not be hard to do. Your ministry shouldn't be due. It's just something that naturally comes out of you. One of the A fun way for you maybe to find out what your gifting is to go to a website. It's called www.teamministry.com. And it's just a little test, and it may show you the strengths that you have. But for those who don't know what your gifting is, you might want to try that and find out. A third step in our walk in ministry and maturity is having the right relationship with others. Over the last few years, I've come to understand the value that each ministry gift has with each other. You know, we shouldn't be individual ministries huddled together and just staying in together. The teachers shouldn't just be together and just only associating with the teachers or the prophets or the intercessors. I know that I need to use all the different giftings to help me be as strong as I can in the giftings. For example, today I went up to the intercessors and said, please pray for me. I wanted to have their prayers over me so that I could be the best I could be up here today. We need to use each other and to allow each other to bless one another. Turn your Bibles now to Ephesians 4. Starting in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here are just a few of the gifts are talked about. But in verse 12, it says, these gifts prepare God's people for the works of service. Why does He do that? What's it say in there? Says we're to build up the body of Christ. So our gifts are for a corporate purpose. It's not just an individual benefit, not just to work individually in what we do. Look at verse 13. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Does it say until I reach it? No. It says, until we all reach it. It's not just me who's going to become immature. It's not just me alone who will obtain the fullness of Christ. We each, as we work together, we will all work together to obtain the wholeness of Christ and to be able, as we function in our gifting. In verse 14, we see the other benefits of working together. It says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there, by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If we work together, one of the benefits of working together and growing in maturity together is that we stop getting pushed around by Satan. His schemes will no longer have an influence of us. It's kind of like a fortress that we have to defend. If you imagine all of us have to do our part, and we all have to protect a part of the fortress, which is the church. By land and by sea. But if someone's not doing their part and not defending the church and being in their ministry, that's where the enemy's going to come in. That's where the enemy will attack us. We need to depend on each person to do their job to protect and defend us against the enemy. Paul says the same thing about being unified in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here, there's a lot of divisions that are going on, and they want to huddle together. They want to be in their little groups. Well, I'm part of Paul, and I'm in the Paul group, or I'm in the Apollos group. But Paul has to speak to them and said, not so. This is what we want. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, it says, Paul speaks and says, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are not a one-man show. We really do need each gifting to help build the church. Because Jesus laid the foundation. And on top of that, we're going to build, we need the evangelist building to go out and reach the unsaved. And then on top of that, as we build, we need the teachers who are going to be sharing what the Word of God means to these people. We need, on top of that, the administrators who keep us all organized and flowing smoothly. We need those with the gift of mercy to encourage those who need encouragement or are messed up to say, you're all right. On top of that, the gift of hospitality. You open your doors and you say, come on in, be a part of our family. Those with financing, the gift of giving, you financially help those to go out and be church for those who are unsaved and to build up the body. So each part of you are building on top of what the other person has laid. You know, as God assists us in our gifting, you know, we benefit by those Christians around us. I went from seeing myself as an individual trying to work in my own ministry to really needing other people to help me and build me up. Pastor Lanny has been there. He has assisted me. He sees things in me and he provokes me. He encourages me to be the best that God wants me to be. Marilyn Dickerson has come into my life, and she's been a great friend. She's encouraged me. She's built me up. She's helped me to become a better teacher and see things that the Lord has given to her and the wisdom she shares with me. Rhonda Harris took me under her wing in the prophetic ministry and helped me to mature in that gifting. Susan Dietz is an intercessor. She's come into my life, into my family's life, and she's prayed in my life, and she has come and said, this is what the Lord said to me, and I want to share it to you. I've had women over here who have been great mothers and homeschool teachers who have encouraged me as I walk out every day being a mom and a homeschool teacher. I can't tell you the value. Each person in my life has been a blessing to me and helped me to grow and mature. It's kind of like I was thinking of it as a domino effect. As you strengthen me, you touch my life, and hopefully I will then strengthen you and touch your life, and then you'll strengthen somebody else. And it's just going to continue as we bless and change the world and transform the world for the kingdom. The last aspect of our growth and ministry that I want to talk to you about is being in the grace and in the strength of God. We serve, as I've talked about, for a corporate growth. For the corporate good, but we're also developing our own personal ministry, and we need the grace to walk that out. But how do we do that? How are some of the ways that we mature in the Lord personally, and where do we get that strength from? Well, back in 1 Peter 4, the second part of verse 11, it says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So, as we mature in our gifting, we're going to have to rely on the strength that God gives us. And the more we rely on him, the more we will find that we will mature in him. But where do we get that strength from? Well, I remember Reed Grafke, who was a former assistant of Paul Kane, speak to us once as our gifting being like a checking account system. Now, God gives us that initial account. And that initial deposit in our checking account is our gift, our ministry gift. And He places it in there. Now, as we start functioning in our ministry, we are going to start giving things out. We will pour more of us out to you and to the church. But before we get overdrawn, we need to have something continually going back into us, and that's God's strength. But what is that strength? We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time in intimacy, in our prayer time, and our devotions. If we do not do that, then we will be in the red, and trust me, you'll feel it. I know that when I don't do it, I will lack the battle to defeat the weakest of my foes. And back in 1 Peter and verse 7, it says, "Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." I need to find the time. I have to dedicate myself to being consistent, to going before the Lord. And not just to find, I can put them in here, or maybe I'll try and fit them in here. But it has to be a regular time that you're willing to devote to the Lord in word and in prayer with Him. Because the strength doesn't come from us. Our strength in ministry comes from the Lord, and we need to depend on Him. Another area of maturity is to discover what's the Lord really asking you to do. What does He really want you to do? About 2 years ago, I came to a place where I was a mess. I was really stressed out. I wasn't able to function. I just wasn't coping with life. And Michael and Pastor Lanny sat me down and they said, "Let's try and figure out what's going on in your life." And so what they asked me to do was to write down everything I was involved in. And it was to discover what I should find out, what was my sphere of serving. Well, you know what? My list was really, really long. I found out I became a yes person. If people asked me to do the ministry, and it was a good ministry, I said yes. And if I was capable of doing it, oh, yeah, I can fit it in. Well, I found out that that wasn't the right thing. Pastor Lanny said to me, "You know, just because these ministries are wonderful ministries isn't necessarily what God's asking you to do. And just because you're capable of doing it, probably may not be what you should be doing." He asked me to go back and re-examine what was the Lord saying to me. What was my priorities? There are times when we're supposed to be someplace in our life. Maybe we're supposed to be in a ministry. But then we need to hear from the Lord if He's calling us out to be in something else. We need to know what He's saying to us and go to Him first to find out, am I supposed to be there? I found that I had to put a little sign on my microwave, and I had it there for several months, and it said, "Say no, remember your priorities." And it worked, because as the people asked me, I would think about it and say, "Okay, I'm going to go before the Lord, and I'm going to ask Him first," before I said, "Oh, sure." I got in the habit of committing myself to the Lord before I was able to say yes to something. I was given a quote that I really appreciated. It was written by Stephen Covey, and he wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It says, "You have to decide what your highest priorities are and have the courage, pleasantly, smilingly, non-apologetically, to say no to the other things. And the way you do that is by having a bigger yes burning inside. The enemy of the best is often the good." You know, I'm in a place right now where I feel really good about my yeses. And I'm able to say no if the Lord tells me to. One thing that may slow us down in growing in service and in our ministry is when we start looking at our imperfections. What are our limitations? And we're not looking at the power of God within us. The last scripture I want to look at is Luke 5. And here Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people on the water's edge, and it's so crowded that he gets into a boat so he can speak to them. Now, in Luke 5, verse 4, I'm going to start. So when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the net for the catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything to follow him. You know, I kind of titled this my "But Jesus" speech with Peter. Because Jesus has requested a job for Peter, and he has to say, "But Jesus." And I don't know how many of you parents have your kids saying, "But Mom, but Dad." I know my kids do, because they just feel like there's been an injustice done to them, or that we can't quite fully comprehend the situation that's been asked of them. And I can almost hear Peter saying the same thing. You know, like he just can't figure, Jesus can't figure this out. "But Jesus, I've already proven I can't catch any fish today. It's just impossible. There's no way I can do it. I've tried." And don't we sometimes say that? I know sometimes I'll say that. You know, the insecurities that we have of ourselves just come pouring out of us first. "But Jesus, I'm really no good at this. God, I've tried this. It's just not my thing. I don't know why you're asking me to do this. I've already proven I can't be in this ministry. I've failed." Well, even though Peter had a "But Jesus" speech, he still was obedient. He was obedient despite his unbelief in the outcome. And the outcome of Peter's obedience was that there was enough fish to fill two boats to the point of sinking. Jesus produced the fish. It wasn't Peter. If Jesus is asking something of us, it's not going to be us who is going to give the outpouring. Jesus is going to help us to succeed in our ministry. In verse 8, Peter responds to the awesome power of God by saying, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. You know, go away." Instead of looking at Jesus, he starts looking inward. Sometimes we can't imagine God wanting to be around us. Why would God want to use me in ministry? But Jesus still knew the inward state of Peter, and he still got in the boat with him. And trust me, God wants to get in the boat with you. Jesus confirms to Peter that he still wants to be around him. Jesus saw beyond what Peter saw of himself. You know, Peter didn't remain where he was. He was obedient and he followed God. Jesus took ordinary men to be his disciples. And we are just ordinary people, and God wants to make us his disciples. So don't be hindered by thinking you can't be used by God. Hebrews 12 says, "Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." My biggest Jesus thing is actually being right up here today. If you had known me when I was a young girl, I hated, with every sense of the word, coming up and doing public speaking. I would have to do a report, you know, in high school, and I would quiver and I would shake and I'd be sick to my stomach. And if I even dared to look out to the audience, I would see people laughing at me and pointing, because I knew there was this redness that was coming up over me. So I really, really was afraid of it. And then about a few years ago, I started having people asking me opportunities to do some small public speaking opportunities.
And that's when my butt Jesus came in. Do you really know what you're asking, God? But I knew it was God. There was just a sense to me, this is God asking me to do it. And that's the only reason I said it, because I knew that he was going to give me the strength to be able to accomplish what he asked of me. And he took me in little steps, and I'm up here today. And if you had asked me a few years ago, would I be up here, I would have said absolutely not. And I remember I spoke about this the last time when I was up here. When the Lord first asked me to tell Pastor Lanny that he wanted me up here to do some speaking, I refused to say it. It was probably a couple months of the Lord nagging me. Just, you have to say, no, no, no. And when I finally did, I was actually crying to him. I know the Lord wants this, but I'm so afraid. And I thought I was off the hook, but I guess I wasn't. But the Lord's grace is with me, and the Lord is my strength. And he will be your strength, too, with your biggest butt Jesus's. You know, in conclusion, today we took our first look at being committed to individual ministry and maturity. You may not know what your ministry is, but you hopefully will be open to it. First, become a servant for the Lord. Just say yes. I will be a servant no matter what you ask of me. And he will find the rewards and the blessing by just saying yes to him. The focus of our ministry is on blessing others. And part of that path is to find the gift that really lies within you. What's that natural thing that the Lord placed in you coming forth? Find that and just develop that, because we are uniquely and wonderfully made by the Lord. We have to take that and serve the body. Who we are and what we are called to do is valuable to the church. It truly is. When we need to see ourselves and our ministry as not just individual gifts, but we need to depend on each other, and we have to see ourselves as a corporate whole, to be united, to defend ourselves, protect ourselves against the enemy, and to be a blessing to one another, and to help each other grow. Lastly, when we walk in our ministry, we absolutely have to depend on the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. We cannot do it within our strength. We need to say, yes, Lord, come in, spend time with him, and find that the Lord will bless you and strengthen you, whatever he calls you to do. I'd like to close in prayer. So if you would just please stand with me, I'd like to pray over you. Dear Lord, I thank you for the giftings that you've placed in each and every one of us. I thank you, Jesus, for being our example of what a servant is. I pray for those who the Lord spoke to today about making the decision to be involved in ministry, to open your hearts to say yes to him and let God direct you. I pray for the guidance for our body as we work together in our gifting. I pray for those who aren't able to identify yet what their gifting is. I pray for those who haven't even called you as their Lord and Savior, Father, that they would come forth today and receive you as their Savior. Lord, may you reveal to us who we are in this body. I pray for us to work together so that we'd be united, so that we would depend on each other. Strengthen each one of us in our ministry gift. Help us to hear clearly from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Does the prophetic have anything to say? No? Okay. No? Well, for those of you today who feel like maybe you have an obstacle in your life, maybe those limitations that you see that you just want to pray for, to be strengthened, we would like you to come up today and we'll pray for you. If you really have had a quickening that the Lord's called you to be a servant, that you haven't opened yourself up today to be in ministry, and you say, I just want to say yes, I want to be a servant, I want to open myself, please come up, we can just pray a blessing over you. And I want to pray for those who don't know the Lord, if you feel like you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, please come up. We have those who would love to pray with you and lead you to the Lord. Also, if you're under the attack of the enemy today, for whatever it is, I want to pray for the strength of the Lord to be over you. If you're feeling burnt out, particularly those who are burnt out in your ministry, you just don't have the strength to do the battle, so you're under attack, I would like to pray that God would come and surround you and protect you and strengthen you today. I thank you. Thank you. The altar is open for those who want to come up and be prayed for. And for those who don't, would you just please exit so you can talk with people out there, and those that want to come up can be prayed for. Thank you.